Welcome to the Level 5 Podcast, Episode 5. My name is Steve Willoughby. That doesn't mean anything. The name you need to remember is Eric Reynolds. He is owner-operator of Level 5 Consulting and the Level 5 Podcast. You can learn about Level 5 Consulting at LVL5Consulting.com. Find out more about Eric at EQR Coach on Facebook or LinkedIn, Eric Q. Reynolds. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. How are you?
Excited to talk about our topics today.
Look, we got into Level 5 Podcasts because clearly it's your business. But when we talk about what this world needs, it needs a lot of things. It needs love. It needs transparency. It needs some politeness. But it also needs successful businesses moving forward. And for successful businesses to happen, it's about leadership. And that's why we have the Level 5 Podcast, because we're talking about those levels of leadership. And it's not that we get to a certain level and stay. It's not that one level necessarily is better than the other level, but it's so important to understand these levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what we're going to be touching on today around concepts of uncertainty in leadership and clarity in leadership resonate up and down that energy leadership spectrum. They have brothers and sisters, if you will, in fear, in the clarity of Level 5, for example, and how the entire team is on the same page to move forward. So a strong overlay.
So there's this quote in 1883, the television series on, I think it's Paramount, whatever, and it, and one of the quotes says, "Hard's coming," and they, you know, it's going to be tough coming up. I think we're seeing that, and we're seeing that perhaps hard is coming. And every time I talk about that, people are like, well, don't talk about it. I'm like, well, it's going to be coming, whether we are ready for it or not, right? So as we look at this, I guess you can look at the difficulties in the economy that are here and the difficulties that we think are ahead of us, and we can be fearful, which I think to some degree makes some sense to some level. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, great businesses were built in difficult times. We're going to work our butts off to make sure we're one of those, that we're building a business that still adds value, that still helps and all of those things. But it comes back to the leadership. You got to make sure the leadership is there in order to fulfill that. Are we kind of talking about some of that today with this uncertainty and clarity and all the different things?
Yeah, this is why I wanted to discuss it today, because it is the appropriate time. I mean, these things happen regardless of where you are throughout the timeline, but especially in today's environment, where I think uncertainty is something we get showered with every day, even when we're trying to avoid it and get a little clear headspace. So I think that that's critical. And I love the 1883 reference, because those two words are perhaps one of the best lines ever uttered in television, since it was a TV series. But, you know, especially after everyone that died in that river and everything had been hard to that point, right?
Right.
Now it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're really getting ready to face some hard times.
Yeah. We talk about an energy leadership. There are no challenges. Everything is an opportunity. I'm going to be the first to raise my hand and say I would struggle to find the opportunity after that gentleman said that to me in that moment. You know, I've got a better way to die, maybe down the line. So,
right.
But yeah, it is true. It's uncertainty, and it is how we manage it that is something we'll dive into today.
And just to show that sometimes I have a little problem. Sam Elliott, who's the man who said that, and he's kind of my guy, and I couldn't think of his name, but it's there now, so we can move on and get to Level 5 Podcast, Episode 5. You started talking to us last week about Andy Stanley and his book, Next Generation Leader, which I still haven't read. I need to do that. But you're a fan of that book and a lot of the principles we talk about today. And I just want to start here. It'd be really easy for you to say, look, Level 5 leadership, that's all you need. I'm not getting out of that and going to talk about somebody else's book. But that's not who you are, and that's really not what Level 5 is all about either, right?
As far as absolutely, just, yeah.
keeping it all to yourself.
Yeah. The interesting thing about the level five and the energy leadership concepts in general is that as I read other leadership books, I continually find them to be the foundation with which those books are built on. Not as if those authors or Andy Stanley went out and said, okay, Bruce Schneider said this, so therefore I'm going to build on that. That's not how it went down. However, when you look at the outcomes that they often discuss in the business management books of, say, you want to avoid this, or you want to engender this within your organization, those all come, they simmer down or boil down nicely to core energy leadership context. So it's the I win, you lose, mm-hmm. or I lose, or those fundamental concepts resonate throughout these. And I think Andy does a spectacular job of just punching you right in the face with the simplest of notions, like you overthink everything, and that's crippling. And here's some steps to avoid overthinking. You know, if I coach individuals and executives who, I'll give you an example. If you send an email out to someone and 2 days later you went back and read that email, you're overthinking. That email's gone. It's history.
Yep.
There's no need to go back and reread it. So those little things draw us down. They create more drag on the plane, if you will, as we're moving through the air. So it's I think Andy does a great job, to his credit, of presenting them very simplistically.
Be clear even when you're not certain.
Yes.
Yes. I have trouble being clear sometimes when I am certain.
Yes. Yes. So. My wife would certainly say that I struggle in conversations on this front, you know, being clear when
right.
I'm not certain. Right.
Right.
When you think about that for a second, if you're in a room and you, I'm trying to think of a possible analogy here. Let's say you're at... you've signed up for some type of product testing for a marketing company, right? For mm-hmm. those who aren't aware, they'll get a random sampling of individuals in a room or in a warehouse, and you're going to get tested like lab rats on
right.
whether you like things or don't like things and how they make you feel. Sometimes they do leadership analysis in those ways as well as part of the marketing research, like who steps up as the leader. The leader is inevitably the individual that steps up with the most clarity on how to move forward with the process. So nothing about that individual, those people just met each other. Let's say there's 9 of them in a room, right? They all just met each other. But the individual that stands up and says, I believe we should go this way for these reasons, is more than likely going to be identified as the leader of that group very quickly without knowing any. That person could have just got out of prison, mm-hmm. right? And so it's interesting how clarity around what you need to get done is much more important in that situation than certainty of the outcome as a leader. So, and as you go through, say, managing teams at an organization or managing your, most important people at your company, the more clarity you give an instruction along the way, the more likely they are to follow you and really deliver in that level five sense, right? Everybody's going to get on board. Everybody's going to help each other. And if you reinforce that and be clear about that in the initiative, wow. I mean, it's a major shift. And, you know, you scared me at the beginning, Steve, because when you said the words 18, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to steal a nugget I was going to talk about. And this one is that a classic case of this, when you talk about be clear when you are not certain, is Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
And Abraham Lincoln, in the early part of the Civil War, right? Lincoln struggled with the generals for the Union side. There, if anyone is ever out there that's ever toured the Arch in St. Louis, mm-hmm. the museum that used to be there has been replaced now. Very, very nice new museum, by the way. But the old one had quotes on the wall. And one of them was a letter from Abraham Lincoln to then commander of the Union Army, George McClellan. who is famous for drilling and drilling and drilling and never fighting, right? Never engaging, never going after Robert E. Lee. And Lincoln wrote him a letter, a very brief one, that said, "Dear General McClellan, rumor has it you have at your disposal a sizable military force concerned about the benefit of the United States of America. If you don't see fit to use it, I should like to borrow it for a while."
Lincoln just kind of cut to it, didn't he?
So, yeah. There's such brilliance, right, in that sentiment. So, eventually, it wasn't right after McClellan, but eventually Grant, who normally would not have even been allowed in the military because of some criminal issues in the back, in his history, some charges that he had faced for insubordination, I believe. Not sure on that 100%. But anyway, the rules loosen as the war goes on. Grant gets in there as a colonel. I think it was for the Illinois Volunteers. And immediately starts to gain reputation for a guy who makes a decision and sticks with it. Complete clarity to the troops on exactly what they were supposed to do. And for the Union, up to that point in the war, their battles all lack that. There was constant disarray. There generally is a significant amount of this on a battlefield anyway, but it was horrific on the Union side. Grant had no such problems. Grant wasn't certain when he gave a command, right, that was going to be the best command and it was going to work out, but he was crystal clear in the command and did not hesitate to issue it. And Lincoln loved that. So eventually made him the commander.
It's really interesting how you, because I don't know these topics until the day before. You send me a fact sheet. I'm able to look over them a little bit so I can ask the questions. But it's amazing how somehow you always seem to be touching something that has impact on me and what I'm going through. I just had a breakfast meeting today with a guy, and I told him, look, I'm a really good idea guy. The problem is ideas really don't do anything for you. I need help on the implementation part. And that's really what you're talking about here. You know, old George was out there. Hey, we're pretty clear on this drilling, but I don't want to go and actually face the fire. And sometimes that can happen with ideas because you're going to implement an idea and you're going to get punched in the nose, or you're not implementing it big enough. I mean, there's no inside the park home runs on ideas and everybody scores and everybody's happy, right? Yes. I mean, it's a struggle. And so what you're saying is, man, be clear even when you're not certain, you know, and I'm sure there's areas that you need to be in that safe space a little bit, because if you're so uncertain that you don't know what, you know, anything's going to happen, you can't make that decision to go. But if you're waiting to know exactly what's going to happen, you're never going to go. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely correct. Yeah. And when you think about it in a level five sense, right, if we go back to the core tenet or the catchphrase, if you will, with level five, is that we all win or we don't do this, right? Mm-hmm. If you sort of reframe that as, think of a level five leadership team. And when I say this leadership team, to be clear, I could mean, you know, you're a CEO with your head of marketing, head of sales, head of finance in the room, or you're a small business owner that's got two or three people that are your leaders in your company, plus you, that are making things go, right? Making things work, making decisions. If those individuals are all making sure everybody else is winning, or, you know, we're not moving forward, I could use the analogy of an airplane, again, going through the air. If anybody ever peeked in a cockpit as you're walking on a commercial, did anybody else want to go push all the buttons up there? You know, what button is that? There's a lot of systems on an airplane, right? Think of everyone in that room as a key system to your airplane. If you've got, you know, someone in sales are your engines, someone in the marketing is your navigation, you've got operations as your fuel system. You want to know if those aren't working right?
Right.
And if you don't have that that sort of a, that connectivity on your leadership team, you don't know when the lights are blinking on the dash. You know, you don't see that as a problem because they have slipped out of, I'm going to make sure everybody's winning here, to I'm going to get a win. And if everybody else wins, that's okay too. So it's really clear that you know what's going on with the plane at all times. And that's where, if you bring it back to clarity, you can make that clear decision on the direction that we want to go, but you don't want to pretend, right? You don't want to be, I'm not saying act like you know it all. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. You need to rely on those sensors of your management team to let you know when lights are blinking. And if they can't do that, then you have to address that rapidly, because guess what? If you're at 30,000 feet and you're out of fuel, I hope there's a big enough runway nearby right. that you can get to. Hopefully that analogy is helpful in some way.
It really is, because on an airplane, I mean, we're talking level five, because it's not that I'm going to lose, right? We're not going to do this if everybody can't make it safely, because if everybody can't make it safely, we're all in trouble at that particular point. You're listening to the Level 5 Podcast. This is Episode 5, and your host is Eric Q. Reynolds. He is owner-operator of Level 5 Consulting and the host of this podcast. You can learn more about Eric and the whole Level 5 consulting at LVL5, that's LVL, the number 5, consulting.com. Learn about him on Facebook at EQR Coach or LinkedIn, Eric Q. Reynolds. We've talked about, and as I said, this is episode 5. For the first 5 weeks, we've really talked about this whole concept of level 5 leadership. And the thing I just want, you know, there's business people out there listening right now. Maybe they are struggling. Maybe they are concerned about what's around the corner. What is Q3 going to look like? Q4, all of those things. When you're talking about this next generation leader by Andy Stanley, you say, recognize that clarity of a vision is more important than certainty of outcome. Tell me exactly what that means.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this conceptually is that there's always, so fundamentally, you're making that call. Go back to the grand analogy. You're saying, okay, we're gonna outflank the rebel army on the left side, right? He had some battlefield information, probably making that call in that situation. Most of the time, Grant's in a tent mm-hmm. towards the rear of the battle, right? Does he actually know that that is where they are, where they aren't, what the outcome is going to be in that situation? No, he doesn't. But he is relying on the clear indicators that he's got to make a clear and concise command decision in that case. When you look at certainty of outcome and you base your leadership style on, I'm going to do things that I'm sure are going to end a certain way, you're going to have some challenges. You could be hyper-conservative in that sense and only making quote-unquote safe decisions, which are really, you know, hurting your throttle, if you will, as far as what the potential could be for your business. But if we line uncertainty up with level one energy, right, which candidly it is, it's, you can get a lot of things boiled into there around fear. Fear leads to apathy and lethargy as outcomes. So if you get, you know, uncertainty is a natural thing. If you get bogged down in that, it's very easy to yourself or have a room of people shut down something because of uncertainty in that case. So it's real important to understand that clarity doesn't mean that you aren't uncertain. You can have all the uncertainty in the world, but you are making the decision to move forward. You are leading the group.
Yeah, because what you just said, hey, I'm not going to make a decision if I don't know how it is, then you're just going to keep repeating what you've done in the past, because that's the only way to know for sure what's going to, you know, you don't know for sure, but I can rely on that. Hey, I've done this 20 times. This is the outcome I've gotten. Well, you're not changing anything. You're not going to, you know, it's the whole insanity definition.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome.
Absolutely. You're playing it safe consistently. And one of Stanley's concepts is the only thing we're certain about is the past. Everything going forward is a guess. And that's kind of profound in its simplicity, right? So if you're a Major League Baseball player and the pitcher just threw a fastball, threw two fastballs right at you, right down the pipe, and you took them or you swung at maybe one of them, the third pitch, you're not certain it's going to be another fastball, right?
In fact, you're probably pretty certain it's not.
It may be a breaking ball, maybe something, but do you know? No, you're actually making an informed guess, you know, relying on all your skills at that point. So what intrigues me about clarity and uncertainty is that they're not opposites, right? And that's one of the major concepts I want to get across in this discussion is that these are complementary. Uncertainty is not your enemy. Uncertainty is your reality. That is the reality with which you do business in. I'm sure you experience this all the time. You want to take Dynacom in a direction and be known as an organization that helps businesses grow,
right?
Helps them succeed. And that's a bold vision, right? And so the level that you get that out there at the level of clarity with which you get that out to the team is critical.
You're listening to the Level 5 Podcast. This is episode 5, and we're really focused on the book Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley. And your host is Eric Reynolds. We've talked about a couple of concepts here. Be clear when you're not certain. Recognize that clarity of vision is more important than certainty of outcome, because again, the more certain you are of the outcome, the smaller it is, the bigger chance you have repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. I mean, you know, we're not putting water in the ice tray and making ice, right? I mean, we know that outcome is going to happen. We know it's going to take a little bit, but it's going to happen. We don't know that in business because we don't know when we bring somebody on. We don't know if we change this policy. And one of the things I'm learning this time around is, man, we've got to really get in there and readjust. I mean, the world's telling us, the world's giving us we try something, there is feedback, we've got to react to that feedback, respond, I should say. We have to respond to that feedback, and sooner or later, that means we change things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and imagine, insert any what would be known as bold or thought of as bold leader out there throughout history. They weren't able to lead individuals because they said, you know, brazen and bold things like, if I push this nickel off the table, it's going to fall to the floor.
Right.
I'm certain of that. Let's go.
Right.
It's a vision that is bold, right? It is something that inspires people and uses their own skill set as a leader should use their management or their, you know, executive team to provide the feedback for them and manage the uncertainty as they go forward.
One of the things too, I felt like I've finally worked through at the age of 58, and I say that, and then still sometimes it can come, but we're not asking permission either. We're not, and I fell into that trap, especially. Mm-hmm. Kind of through the redo years of 16 to 20. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? It's none of their business. It's my goal and it's my dream. And when I say it's none of their business, I don't mean that in a bad way for them. I mean, I should stop asking and asking and asking. If they had that goal, they could really talk about it. But that's not their goal. Just go do it. Right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a great analogy that's used in the book itself, a story really that Stanley puts out there around a church leader and the rather large congregation that they have and their transition from sort of a group Bible study format to small groups in people's homes. So sort of breaking out and distributing the study of scripture throughout people's homes. And the pastor created a very clear vision on how much time was going to be spent on deciding which direction to go, which one is right for us as a family, as a parish, and as a congregation. And in the ultimate, when the time had been met, that head pastor made the decision and said, we're going to small groups. And this isn't a commercial for small groups, but that was his decision. And in that particular case, he clearly said, so our discussion is now no longer about which direction we're going. We're going small groups. Now it is about managing the uncertainty as we transition to small groups for our family and our fellowship. So to your point, there comes a time, right, when the decision says we're no longer talking about that. We have crossed that bridge. It is now behind us. Now we have this vision going forward, and you make it very clear.
Eric, I can't give the details of this right now, and I hope this doesn't butcher the story, but there's a great story about a military leader, and when he was a young soldier, young officer, he was able to observe this older officer who had just kind of been reassigned to this, and they had to make a decision, and it had been 2 years of talking and talking. This was his first meeting. Mm-hmm. He walks in, and he hears all of this and says, this is how we're going, just what you were talking about. We're going B, and you know, gave the orders and all of that. And the young officer goes up and asks for permission to speak openly, and he was granted that. And he goes, sir, they've been talking about this for 2 years, and this is your first. And he goes, they could have talked about it for 20 years. They're not going to know. We made a decision. We'll find out if it's right or not, but let's go.
Yes.
And that's really what you're talking about. And I don't want to give, because you got guys like me that want to talk it to death. And then you have other guys that are out there going, oh, hell, we forgot the parachute, right? You know, this is going to leave a bump. So
it's going to hurt.
You can go both ways there and make mistakes, but usually guys, yes, like me that maybe want to talk a little bit more, they need to make a decision and move.
Yeah. I mean, the military is full of those situations, right? You always have to, there's someone who's going to call the shot by right. authority in that case. And it's intriguing how, you know, to your point, people that are going to follow that individual don't always know the backdrop on how they got there, right, in those cases, and how what was used to come to that determination. But the determination has been made to go. And I just want to lean back for a second on, you know, we've talked about what it's like to engage when I work with an organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to overlay a formula on your company and tell you this is how we do something, right? Because in those situations, you're sort of, first, you're just assuming what's worked for others is going to work for this organization. And consultants, you know, we've joked about the telling consultant jokes. Mm-hmm. We should probably have a whole podcast on consultant jokes at some point.
Yeah.
But they're going to come in and study, right? They're going to give you this analysis. I'm not that guy. I will analyze, I will observe, but man, do I want you to do something. You know, it's that, have you seen the meme with the stick figure poking whatever with the stick,
yeah,
saying do something,
yeah,
come on, do something.
Exactly.
Just go a direction, lead the group and watch them follow. Just get that energy going. And I'm not saying assert yourself as the almighty, but assert yourself as the leader of that group and watch things start to happen.
Again, another story about that is I was listening to a fitness expert, and he basically came down and he said, you know, I talked to all these people and they've got to do all this research about gyms or whatever. He goes, you want to start a fitness program? When you go to a store, park further away and walk more. I mean, seriously,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be all planned
right
out. And he goes, I'm not telling you that parking further away is going to get you in great shape, but you're going to start something. You're
yes
going to get in motion. And when you get in motion, you'll start picking up other things as well as you go.
It's a great example. Take the stairs on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Never get in the elevator.
Never.
Because you're consuming a lot of calories anyway, right?
That's right. Yeah. Level 5 Podcast. This is Episode 5. You can learn more about Eric Q. Reynolds at LinkedIn at Eric Q. Reynolds, on Facebook at EQR Coach, and on his website, LVL5Consulting.com. That's LVL, the number 5, consulting.com. In Episode 5, we're really focused on a book, Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley. And I really like how Eric has got this laid out. And the next point is really don't pretend. Yeah. Don't pretend. Now, is that in all leadership? Is it just pretending about what you know and don't know? Give us some more details on that.
It's both. I mean, in that situation, right? It's a case of where when you're pretending, I think when people do this as a leader, they grossly underestimate how many people realize they're pretending in those moments. And there's an axiom that Stanley talks about that, when you get to, as you go up in responsibility with an organization, say all the way up to GM or CEO, the higher you go, the more uncertainty you must manage. And in fact, uncertainty is what you manage. At some point, it becomes everything of what you're managing, right? So in that situation, to just pretend that you know about the uncertainty and you have the answers for those things is often, it's a huge mistake, right? It's, you're going to run right into the jaws of the enemy in that case. So, so, you know, when you think about pretending, the best thing you can do as a leader in those situations, and this is where, you know, I could be in a room and see, you know, a leader of a group act this way, and I just want to stand up and, you know, give it the harumph type thing, is like they make the clarity of decision and direction and then let everybody in that room know exactly what they understand about the situation. And that is usually about 20 to 25% of the entire situation, right? And leverage all of those resources. Go back to the plane analogy, leverage all those sensors. You know, John, how's our fuel system going to hold up on this? Amy, can our engines handle this kind of thing? You know, I want you blinking red if that's not the case, right? So the more that you let them know you have uncertainty and you need the collective, we're all in this to win or we're not going to do this, your leadership will be solidified with that group.
You know, one of the things I try to do is really the transparency. And I have stood in front of a group, and there would be other leaders say you can't ever do that, and said, we're not sure. Here's where we are, but we're taking two, we're taking three, we're taking whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes people want to give you some feedback, and that's great. We want feedback, all of those things. But I just come back around to, you got to make that decision and go. But you don't have to make that decision. And I think kind of in the 80s, maybe when we grew up in 90s, this type of talk was not there. You got to act like you know it, never see them sweat. That was what I was told over and over. Yeah. Don't ever let them see you sweat. Well, why not? Yeah. I mean, I want them sweating a little bit too, right? Understanding that we're in this together, and not that, you know, I've gotten here and now I'm some kind of perfect being that can go through without sweating and doing all the things we do.
Yeah.
You know,
you were born a radio station GM,
exactly. That's the book they gave me. They knew I couldn't handle much more. But there are some of those beliefs that, you know, never see them, let you see them sweat, all that kind of stuff. And it's just, to me, it's silly.
No. It is.
It's games and everything else.
It is, because when you relate to individuals that if you are above them in the chain of command or even peers with them or, you know, anywhere really, they're going to respect the honesty and integrity that you have and the candidness, which is critical for a functional business, to say, I don't know. You know, because if you act like you know and you run around that corner or you charge that flank, bad things can happen, right? Sometimes you don't know, but the vision is you're going to do it. So you absolutely need to let your team know your parameters, they will eventually, especially in a level five situation, they will begin to understand those without you saying them. And there have been, you know, good moments where someone on that group that's not the leader, not the CEO, already has prepared for some feedback that they know the CEO is going to want, right? How does that happen? Because everybody's being candid about what they know and don't know. And it is amazing to me how I can come into an organization and see that the leaders are more worried about what's going wrong in another department than they are their own situation, right? And it's almost as if that focus has infected them in some way to try and tell someone in another area what they need to be doing. And that's a complete waste of focus, clarity, and time. You master your realm, you lead your realm in the way that you need to, and be that clear level five leader. The rest is going to take care of itself. It's not your responsibility.
So once you're okay with what you don't know, the people around you will be okay with it as well, is the line you put
yes.
there. And really it's one of those things, that's a no duh, but sometimes we don't think of it that way. We're so afraid to let people know, I'm not sure, I don't know, let's talk about this moving forward. But do you agree that that wouldn't have been happening back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s as much as today?
Well, I was playing a lot of Atari in the 80s, so I'm not sure what was going on there. But I'm going to say yes. From what I know historically, IBM might be a good example of a culture, right, where if you're going in to do a sales presentation and you're on that team, IBM's, main strategy in those meetings was to darken the room, right? So you're going to bring you as the sales individual are simply there to shake hands and kiss babies. And you bring a fleet of other resources in there to do the technical presentation and everything else along the line. And the old joke from IBM was that because they got reimbursed for mileage, that if you can't sell, just drive. So I heard that once at a trade show, and I think I laughed for a day and a half after that one. It's like, wow, conventional wisdom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And if you're not good with directions, just drive around the building for several times.
Rack up those miles. But, in that situation, when you look at how they'll be okay with it, I think it's intriguing that you may also run into individuals that aren't comfortable in some ways with you saying you don't know, because they have a warped representation mm-hmm. of what you should be as a leader. So if you're getting some blowback on that, some challenge, talk to them. Let them know that how you're leading, why you're leading that way, and what that means for them. You know, John, if you're in charge of operations, you are the first. You're first in line with operations. I am not. I am behind you as CEO in that situation to support you, but you are on point for that. So that's your domain expertise. I will draw from that, and you can draw from anybody you want on this team, but just because I'm a leader doesn't mean I know everything.
Yeah. And I'm not expecting you to know everything either.
That's right. That's right. And some people, may come into the organization well-read. Maybe a lot of management books, a lot of, whatever material, seminars, et cetera, and feel like they've got this base of knowledge above other individuals. I've ran into those as well, where you have this conversation and they're like, I don't know why, John doesn't understand this and Jane doesn't understand that in the different departments. That has nothing to do with the price of tea in China,
right,
as far as your bottom line as a company.
Right.
The question is, okay, now that you know all that, use that to run the area that you're responsible for and be very clear in your leadership.
100%, because again, that's just another way to deflect, because it's always easier to run somebody else's department
yes.
or business
yeah.
or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Until you get in there and you really see what's going on.
Yes. Yeah, and you will eventually, if you try to do that too much, you will be the one who led the charge of the Light Brigade, as mm-hmm. they say. You know, you will
yeah.
onward, men, into the cannons, you know, that kind of thing. So you have to be able to know and rely on, in the sense of level five, what those other leaders are doing.
You're listening to the Level 5 Podcast. This is Episode 5, and again, I'll give you the website, lvl5consulting.com, lvl5consulting.com, and your host today is Eric Reynolds. So let's talk to that business person, man, woman, maybe it's a family, maybe it's somebody just starting out. Who is who's ideal for you? That they would come to you and say, I need help with this. Is it the person just starting out that you could help them get aligned with what they're trying to do? Is it an organization like ours that's really trying to turn that aircraft carrier, if you will, away from traditional and get into what's needed now? What are you looking for, and where can you really help people?
Yeah, so I'm looking for organizations that have engagement from the top down.
Okay.
So that could be a solopreneur, as they call it today. It could be a business, a family business that's been around for 25 years that's struggling. What I am looking for first and foremost is that the very top of the food chain on down, but most importantly, the top is willing to take part in the process, because if I ignore that aspect, I am not going to end up being effective. Because what will happen is it'll just be everyone I'm working with will say, well, this is great, but John's never going to change. So, you know, we've had seven of you here in the 10 years I've been here, right? So I don't really look at the ideal client for my situation on the type of business or the size. And the other reason for that is because there are some individuals that I just coach. That's all I do as an executive. So they need someone to call BS on them when the goal's not big enough, when they're not challenging themselves. And it's funny because later in this book, for Andy Stanley, one of his top five important things to become a next generation leader is to hire a coach. Sounds self-serving to bring it up, but it is something he put in there. And I think he describes it. He breaks out what a counselor is, what a therapist is, and what a coach is, and helps people understand the difference between those types of individuals. And you know, so I may run into a solopreneur who needs to be pushed, right? Who needs someone to give them, guidance on, is that challenging enough? I don't need to know your space in order to coach you. That I don't need to know your domain expertise. That's irrelevant. What I'm there to do is to make sure you're setting aggressive enough challenges for yourself. You think they're strategic, and we'll do sounding boards on that, and we're realistically going after those goals. So it could be that, could be a business that wants a sales team turnaround or something along those lines, and it's a mix of consulting or coaching.
So let's walk that just a little bit further before we get back to our last point here. And again, you're listening to the Level 5 Podcast. This is Episode 5.
Can we call that regularly scheduled program?
Regular scheduled program.
I've always
program.
Wanted to say that.
Yeah, go okay. right ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we'll return to our regularly scheduled programming in a moment. Go ahead.
So if I were to call you and say, okay, I'm GM, and I need you to fix John and Sharita. They're our revenue team, and I want you to fix them. I'm not a good prospect for you because I'm wanting to stay no. out of the situation, and you just tell them and I'll sit back and count the new sales coming in that you're going to make happen.
Yeah.
That
I don't fix people. Okay. I'm not that doesn't work that way. Right. It doesn't.
And they really don't need fixed. I mean, even right. it's not the people that need to be fixed. Right.
Yes. Right. It's that's a way of looking at it that is catabolic, right? It's low energy to look at it in that fashion. So I would not engage there. I would let them know a plan where I would engage, which obviously involves, in your scenario, that would be you as well. And it would not only be solo coaching, but it would be group coaching as well. And, you know, some assessments on how do you think Steve's doing? Steve, how do you think Sharita's doing? How, you know, let's get a feel for where we are energetically as a group.
And again, more the 360.
Also that, also that. Good, hard, quantitative analysis on where people think the performance is of the organization.
So now let's move to coaching a little bit and just walk down that road a little bit with me. In that situation, let's say I come to you and I mean, I've got this gig, I have some other gig, I got a lot of things going on. At that point, you can help me in a, you know, with me, and you wouldn't be necessarily taking the gig at Ozarks Dynacom. You're looking at Steve Willoughby, but more than one thing could benefit as you help me improve.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that yes, it could. And in that situation, you know, as the leader may be able to at some point determine, and this has happened, where it's like, my God, I love this. You're holding me accountable. And Sharita needs it and John needs it, you know, just as examples, right? In that situation. So it often trickles from that point. The thing to understand and be very clear about on the coaching front is that even if you sponsor my coaching, so in other words, Dynacom pays for the conversations that I have with those individuals is strictly confidential. In fact, the only thing by my code of ethics that I can share with you is whether or not they've attended, whether or not they showed up for the coaching session or didn't show up, if you're curious what they're doing. However, how that works and why I want to work with the leader is because I want to know what the goals of the organization are. And I'm going to work with those individuals to say, okay, well, your leader has established these goals. How are you going to get to those goals? What is your plan to get to those goals? That ain't enough. He's asking for the moon. You're taking him to the satellite layer around the earth, and it's very messy. You know, you're going to get clobbered at about 25,000 miles an hour, right?
Right, right.
So it's that type of sort of networked coaching that helps that executive team drive it forward. But the benefit that they get of that sponsored coaching is they know it's confidential. So they can be honest about anything they need to be, their opinions or whatever the case may be. And because we've talked about, you mentioned it early in earlier podcasts, you're not just GM at Dynacom, right? You're a father, a grandfather, a husband, all those things. There are real life factors that affect work.
100%. 100%. Yep. The other thing, and then we'll get back to this.
Okay.
You're not looking for a 2-year gig. You're not looking to try and, you know, one of the things we're both consultants, or somebody in the world would call me a consultant. Maybe you're definitely a consultant.
Well, you have an axe, you know, for chopping up words, and that's too weird. I don't know what I have yet. I have to work out my weapon of choice.
But I have worked. I have worked with a consultant, and you could tell him from day one, he was just worried about that next contract. He was agreeable. And I was like, I'm not hiring you to be agreeable.
Right.
So I'm working with a guy now. I mean, we butted heads. We really went at it, and it turned out to be a good relationship on the radio side, if you will. But he didn't seem to be worried about that, you know, new contract coming up, and that's really important. There's a lot of people that don't want to walk down that road unless they're going to have multiple years. You're the exact opposite. If people start talking to you about multiple years, you get a little nervous of why would you hire me type of thing.
Yeah, I don't want a parasitic relationship with my clients. You know, I'm not looking to cozy into 4 or 5 different situations and just stay there. That I might as well just tell someone I should be the CEO of the organization at that point, right? Because that means you're creating some type of dependency on you in order for the success of or creating a mythos or a myth that's the reason why they're successful is because you're there, right? I'm there to teach you how to fish in that situation, to educate you about the energetic side of things and get you in a spot where you're comfortable. There are situations where I could go back and just do a refresher session after 6 months or something, and that's it. You know, something along those lines. But no, it's not a not an ad nauseum engagement.
You can learn more about Eric Reynolds by going to LVL5consulting.com. That's LVL, the number 5, consulting.com. On Facebook at EQR Coach, or on LinkedIn, Eric Q. Reynolds. This is the Level 5 Podcast, Episode 5. And finally, the last thing we have talked about, let me go over these quickly. Again, these are concepts from Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley, the book. And be clear when you're not certain. Recognize that clarity of vision is more important than certainty of outcome. Remember that clarity is perceived as leadership. Don't pretend, and then finally, be flexible.
Yeah. Yoga is important with this.
I love it. I love yoga, actually. I should do more of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to break anything in that set. But one of the things that I love, phrase-wise, that Andy says here is pencil in your plans, but etch your vision in stone. And he talks about, you know, plans, right? This is the plan. The vision is etched in stone. This is the direction we're going. Am I clear? Does anyone in here have questions? This is the vision that we're going after. You know, I think that when you go through let's just take a typical year in a corporate world where visions are laid out, marketing plans are created, sales plans are associated to those to support that, or vice versa. And it just doesn't work. It doesn't go through, you know, and you don't get to the vision in that situation or to the goals. Level 5 organizations will have learned a lot from that along the way, mm-hmm. and hopefully adapted to a point with which they got as far as they could with that particular vision. However, if it's just a bunch of uncertainty associated with that, and you're letting that rule the day, you don't have the ability to align the next vision in a way now that you've got all that information. We're going to adjust it this way, and we're going, you know, this year we're approaching it in this fashion. So keep the vision firm, but the plans on how to get there, that's pencil stuff, right? That's, no, this ain't working. We're halfway through the year, or might as well be at this point, and we're 30% of the number, as an example. So don't tell me we're going to make it up in Q4.
Right.
Kind of thing. That's not the right answer in the meeting. So, it's one of those cases where, okay, let's get that eraser out. Let's look at what's going on. Let me check all my sensors, right? We'll go back to the airplane, figure out what's going on, and move forward. So you got to have that flexibility.
Really, and it kind of goes back to what you talked about before where, you know, to steal a Colin Cowherd, you know, comment, want to get it right, not be right. There's a lot of people that put a lot of energy in being right.
Yes.
And change, and things change, and situations change, and, you know, reality changes. And sometimes you've got to adjust that because, you know, being right really doesn't do a whole lot for you. Having the opportunity to get it right, having the opportunity to have the processes and systems be right moving forward and adjusted, that's where things are going to happen and people are going to win.
Yeah. My dad was a quiet guy for the most part from southeastern Missouri, and Doyle Reynolds. And I remember one time he told me, "You want to be right or do you want to be happy?" And it was one of those things where it was probably one of the more profound things, you know, greatest generation type, right? Didn't talk a whole lot. And when you apply that to a business situation, if you're the one not taking out the pencil and, you know, you're cruising, well, we're loving airplane analogies today. Right. They're all fitting. You're coming through the clouds and there's the mountain. And guess what? You're shy by about 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
Are you just going to fly it right in and be right if that's your insistence? Or are you going to be happy, adjust everything, take the feedback from your team, your sensors, and get over the mountain? So spot on with that. I mean, spot on with it.
And it's really dangerous territory to be in a situation where nobody on your team is confident enough to come to you and go, we got a mountain coming up.
That's
Are you not seeing this? I mean,
yes.
You know, I love the pushback. I ask for pushback. And then sometimes I go, okay, I get it. I understand it. But we got to move forward.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not telling you we're setting up a perfect scenario here. Give me the pushback. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can make it. We got to move forward.
Yes.
We can't consistently retreat on these decisions.
Yeah, when we talked in podcasts past about the assessment that I do with individuals, which kind of gives you a picture of your everyday self and gives you a picture of yourself under stress, I have the ability to do that for a leadership team. So I can do that assessment for your entire group, and then we will debrief on that assessment as a group. So it's going to be real interesting if say a lot of level three comes into the mix, right? Start asking questions with everybody. Where do you think that's showing up in the organization? And everybody gets a chance to give feedback. I'm here to tell you, once a tiny little pinprick has been put in that dam,
mm-hmm.
they will all begin to say things that sometimes the leaders are just stunned. I've known you for 6 years and you never said that, you know, not that it was offensive, but it's like it was insightful, or right. They were surprised they felt that way. So the group assessment process can help identify those situations where you have people who aren't bringing it to you, who aren't telling you, yeah, Steve, we're out of fuel, by the way. I know you want to climb over that mountain, but we're on vapor. So, bad
exactly.
day. Yeah.
Exactly. You're listening to the Level 5 Podcast, Episode 5, and we want to encourage you to find out more about Eric Reynolds. You can at LVL5Consulting.com. Go to Facebook at EQR Coach or on LinkedIn at Eric Q. Reynolds. Put a bow on this. I mean, when you see things like be clear, even when you're not certain, recognize that clarity of vision is more important than certainty of outcome. Remember that clarity is perceived as leadership. And I think that may be the one that really sticks out, that you do have an understanding of where the vision is. You do have an understanding of what that strategy is moving forward, but you're open to hearing opposing views. You're open to being a leader that brings people in. So important, especially I think in today's workforce. I mean, we talk about nobody wants to work anymore, and that's one of the things I don't like, because there are some young people that are working their butts off and really adding a lot of value, and we can be these old guys talking about how nobody wants
to get off my lawn.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is, they may not want to work for you.
Right.
They may not want to show up and just be not considered, not be a part of the team.
Right.
And that's why this is so important to learn.
Yeah. To put a bow on it, if you want to find out how your organization is doing related to this, really simple process. You're going to send out a 2-question email to whatever you consider valid for this question, likely your leadership team or your executive team. First question: what is the vision of this organization? Or you could phrase that as, you know, what is the mission, if you want to do that? Second question: name the top 3 initiatives we're working on right now, or the top 3 goals we have for this year. Don't say anything else but that, and take a look at the feedback that comes in. If you've got Jane saying this, and you will have Bob saying that. Maybe you don't. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying it can't be good and clear when it comes back. But if they don't understand that fundamental level of why they're here, then you have plenty of opportunity within this establishing clarity, acknowledging and embracing uncertainty as part of the fun, the ride in that case, to get it rolling.
I don't think I want to take that challenge. I mean, seriously, that's really got me thinking that, hey, we probably ought to adjust some things, because I wouldn't want to.
You don't want to do that.
I mean,
and you don't have to share the results with anyone.
I understand. But, you know, I say that because I want to ask, you know, you, the listener, do you want that challenge? Would you take that challenge if Eric said, "Hey, here's $25,000, you know, unmarked bills in a suitcase. If you could get 50% of your people to match your answer, would you take that? And if it's below 50, you're going to hand him a briefcase of $25,000. Would you take that? I'm telling you, I wouldn't right now.
I'd even be lenient on interpreting what they wrote back.
Right.
Oh, we'll count that one as the same as the other one.
Right.
It ain't going to happen at 50%.
Yeah. Well, great. I always enjoy these times, and now I realize I got a lot of work to do.
Enough of this leadership. Back to work.
Yeah. Let's get something done here. You know, Eric and I always want to be the transparent dude. It's not that we go way back. We've known each other going on 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah.
And I have just enjoyed getting to know him. I think one of the things I like about one of the many things I like about Eric is he didn't read all this in a book and then all of a sudden start doing it. Now, he's certified and he's been educated, but he's also had his butt in the seat that is responsible for a lot of revenue coming in. He's had those nights where he's saying, "What am I going to do with Willoughby and Wilson? I either got to fire him or do something." I mean, real world stuff. You have been there.
Lost plenty of sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got that you can relate to, and you're not just relating to books or relating to education.
No,
You've been in the fire.
So much of this I wish I knew at the time. You know, that's why I'm passionate about what I do, because there are truths to this that I've lived it. I wish I knew this information at certain times. If you know you got to let someone go because ultimately their opportunity lies elsewhere beyond your organization, you don't sleep that night. You know, it's not an easy conversation. So, it's been real world for me, and I know the drill.
And I have been there, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but if you can't make that decision, then you got to look at yourself and are you a real leader? Because those types of conversations can really move an organization forward, and if done correctly, will move the person forward and have new opportunities. So,
yep.
Eric, thank you very much.
You bet.
Again, thanks, Level 5 Podcast, Episode 5. You can get on the website, lvl5consulting.com, lvl5consulting.com. We'll talk next week.